So then we move to item 13, which is the Morro Bay groundwater degradation.
So, Mr. Chair, before we do that, I don't know if Ms. Steggy is here yet. I don't believe so, and I think we gave her a time of about 9:30. So I wonder, or 10:30. Yeah, we told her 10:30, because remember, Mr. Moore is not here. And so what I would suggest is, if possible, that we have quite a few cards for Los Osos, that we could go ahead and do the Los Osos item and come back to Morro Bay.
I was recommending that we go to Los Osos, because Ms. Steggy is not here yet.
So we're going to then move to item 14. And as we move to item 14, I'd like for all our members of the public and also for my colleagues, board members, make the following statement. This is an information item for the board to be heard from regional board staff and the public, and provide direction to staff on whether to hold a hearing to determine whether to rescind the cease and desist order. Because this is an information item, the board will not make a decision today. Staff will make a brief presentation, and the board will hear from members of the public on that specific item. If you'd like to speak, I should by now have received your blue cards for this item 14, and they should have been presented to a clerk of a board. And I will not accept any speaker card turned in after I finish this statement. So after public comment, which will be scheduled for this afternoon, it's part of public forum, the information item will be limited to whether to hold a hearing regarding or rescinding the CDO. So any other item pertaining to Los Osos would have to come as a public item this afternoon. All speakers, I will limit you to 3 minutes. Discussions of other issues, construction of the wastewater treatment plant, seawater intrusion, again, all those items have to be presented as part of a public comment. And if any of the speakers would like to cover a topic not involving the CDO, again, please fill out a blue card, and this will be part of this afternoon public forum. So I thank you for your cooperation and your understanding. So now let's move to item 14. Yes.
I just want to make a brief statement for Monica Hunter. When these CDOs were issued, she was not allowed to participate due to the potential conflict of interest if the CDOs were given to all homeowners in the area. Because that is no longer the case, and we are only focused on the issued CDOs, there's no further potential conflict of interest, and so she's allowed to participate today.
Thank you very much. Mr. Packard.
Thank you. Harvey Packard, Water Board staff. I just want to introduce the item very briefly with a few comments. I want to point out that this status update was requested by the board, I believe back in December, perhaps. Maybe it was brought up at one of the updates we had on the wastewater treatment plant construction. The staff report that you have includes enforcement staff's recommendation, which is to leave the CDOs in place until the residents can connect with the wastewater treatment plant. We are confident that the sewer system will be completed. I don't want to get that impression across. The agenda package includes two sets of supplemental comments that we received after the staff report was issued. I want to address briefly one set of comments from the from Mr. Moylan or from Ms. DeWitt Moylan. I met with Mr. Moylan back in January on a separate topic altogether, and I mentioned to him at the time that we would be having this status report update, and that if he or any of the other CDA holders had any input to me or to the board, I would be welcome to review that in making my recommendation and staff report. If there was any other meaning taken by any of the parties, I apologize for that, but it was never my intention to imply that my recommendation was going to be anything different than it is in the staff report, and I didn't mean to imply that my preference or recommendation would be to rescind the CDO. So I just want to make that point. And I believe that's all I have to say, so we can proceed with public comment.
Any comment at this time? So then we can move to the speaker cards, and I have a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 speaker cards specific to this item. So I would like to start with Ms. Tacker.
Good morning, I am Julie Tacker from Los Osos. And first of all, Chairman Wolf, there are other citizens on their way to the meeting this morning because we too judged by the previous agenda items in front of us and an email from Mr. Packard suggested that 9:30, I know. I know. You did suggest that this item wouldn't come up until 9:30 or later because Morro Bay was in front of us. So if by chance some people come in, I would hope that you'd have the discretion to allow them to speak. My particular comments, I'm not in agreement with Mr. Packard's recommendation that these orders remain in place. And the reason for that is the county has already issued an ordinance that you will hook up as part of the project when it becomes available. So, I'm sorry I didn't think to get that for you, and I'm surprised the county's not here to also inform you of that, but actually I'm not all that surprised. They're not participating in all things Los Osos. This has gone on too long. Too many people's lives have been affected by it. The inequity in how the people have been treated, for people to sell their home and move away, relieving themselves of any pressure from this, I think is unfair to those who choose and prefer to live out their lives in their homes that they've invested in. And in your staff report, it speaks to the history. And in the third paragraph down on page number 2, it says, with the recall election in 2005, that the Los Osos board stopped work on the project. I was on that board, and I made the motion, and I still am very proud today to have suspended work on the project. And the dominoes that fell from there lie in the lap of the State Water Control Board. Are you laughing?
No, I'm not. I hope. It's just that
okay.
Went down the wrong road.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't around for that part of it,
okay.
So I don't have a...
Well, but history does have a funny way of changing over the stories, and in fact our action was to suspend work, and the state board ceased funding our loan, ultimately stopping the project, ultimately triggering bankruptcy and the CDOs and everything else that came with. And today, we're talking about a very few people who've been burdened far too long, and I would recommend that you do hold a hearing to have them removed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next will be Lindy Owen. Thank you.
Good morning, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. As to the CDOs and whether to hold a hearing about rescinding them or putting them in abeyance possibly, I urge you to consider rescinding them. It's the only fair thing that you can do, and it may open you up to liability for the wrongs that were put upon 50 homeowners out of 4,500 who all flush their toilets every day and have a completely acceptable life while they wait for the sewer to come to their house. These 50 homeowners had absolutely no say and no guilt beyond the guilt of the rest of us who were simply waiting for the process to finish itself. And whether it took 30 years to get a sewer in and whether we have a sewer that's even going to work that's being accomplished today is a different question. But 50 homeowners had no guilt in doing what they do every day with the rest of us in Los Osos. So I urge you to take the right step and do the rescinding. Remove those CDOs. It was wrong. It was a political action that should not have happened. It happened under your prior chair, executive officer Roger Briggs, who I will hold responsible along with Pandora Nash Carner for pushing that political direction to make the sewer come about the way that it has come about, instead of having an alternative green sewer that was hopefully what we would have opted for the best of the community and the groundwater. I just want to remind you, September 27th, 2005, Pandora Nash Carner, it's on record, wrote a letter to Roger Briggs telling him to fine the community of Los Osos off the face of the planet, something to that degree, because she was unhappy that we had unseated the three CSD members who had pushed for the middle of town sewer. So this is all a lot of history, and if you don't know it, you probably need to look a little further to see what started in 2005, actually what started in 1983 when Roger Briggs, with very little data, put in a moratorium on the sewers septic systems in Los Osos. Based on very little science. And later today, I will bring up some questions about why this sewer is going to cause more damage to our water than a partial sewering. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And just as a little side note here, there is a white Pontiac Bonneville in the parking lot with the lights on. So if you do not want to go back to your vehicle with a discharge battery, maybe you can attend to it. And the next speaker will be our San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisor, Mr. Gibson. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I am Bruce Gibson, the 2nd District County Supervisor for the County of San Luis Obispo, representing Los Osos. And I come today to urge you to start the process of rescinding these CDOs. I am on the record, I believe, in your staff report with a letter of April 15th, which is not the first letter I've written on this matter. Suggestion that you rescind the individual CDOs goes back to the start of that process. I fully understand why your board felt the necessity to start enforcement actions, but much has changed since you put those CDOs in place in the first place. The wastewater project in Los Osos is more than half complete. We have put the last piece of main pipe in the ground in the collection system. We are well underway on the treatment plant, and we are fully expecting completion of the treatment plant late 2015 and are expecting to be hooking individual residences and other users up to this system during 2016. And so in reading your staff report, your board notes that they have no reason to think that the project won't come to completion, but it's not guaranteed. I could only tell you that a significant force majeure might be the only thing that will keep us from getting this long-awaited wastewater project in place and operational. We appreciate the collaboration we have had with your board and staff over the years in getting this to where it is today. But speaking to the individual cease and desist orders on individual property owners, I think that at this point it is counterproductive. And staff can argue that they really aren't much of an effect right now, that their effect is perhaps moot. But I would argue to you that there is a major symbolic effect on this community. This community faces a couple more years of significant work to get this project complete. The community does face a significant financial burden with this project, and it's going to take this community coming together to really get through this in the best possible way. I would submit to you that removing the individual CDOs is a tremendous symbolic gesture by this water board that will remove a cloud over those individuals, but will also signal your confidence in both the community and the county to do what has had to be done. In that symbolic gesture, I think you're going to see this community start to come together. I'm seeing it already. The controversy is minimal at this point. The process is moving forward. And again, I would urge you to start the process of rescission of the CDOs. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Yes, Mr. Young.
Are you going to entertain questions?
Well, I was hoping because we have quite a few speaker cards, to have all the speaker cards, and then we can consolidate the questions, because you know some of them may be repetitive.
That's fine. I just wanted to know what the chair's preference was.
So that's what I'd like to do.
Unless,
are you pressed with time?
No, I'm not. I'm here for the duration.
Okay. Otherwise, I would certainly allow some additional communication. And it is now past 9:30, so if there was any confusion about what time this item was going to be presented, if we had any late arrivals, I will accept a speaker card to compensate for our earlier than planned schedule. Okay, thank you. So next comment from Ben DeFata.
Okay, thank you. Long ways to get here. Good morning, board, guests, and public. Mr. Gibson, thank you. I am Ben DeFata from the little village of Los Osos, where a federal agency of the federal government said that this little village has been declared an economically depressed zone, and you still went and did it. I asked you to get rid of the CDOs of these poor 50 homeowners that you say were picked at random. It was illegal from the start for the regional board to do this. It was a collusion to screw the poor people of those in the zone big time from the start. You were all taken in by Roger Breakers, three Los Osos CSD directors that were recalled in one fell swoop in disgrace, Bruce Gibson, Pablo Ogren, and a few others. It was done to threaten the rest of us, the rest of those in the zone, to pass Proposition 218. You took advantage of those that live in the Prohibition Zone, a zone that was determined by an agency of the federal agency, and considered those in the zone as an economically depressed zone. That means there are many poor people here. A state-of-the-art system could have been bought for $50 to $100 million less, but those three I mentioned above would not even entertain their bid. They treated these businesses terrible. You will hear from those above that the monthly cost will be about $160 a month, but you will never hear from them that this is just a monthly cost of the sewer and does not include other costs on the same bill. They will never mention that this is a charge. There is a charge for O&M, about $60 a month. The cost of the lateral, about $5,000 a month. That's wrong. A cost not included in the sewer board bill. And if your home is lower than the pipe in the street, a cost of a grinder pump to get it up to the street level is also a separate bill. I have heard bids as much as $10,000. Add it all up, and it would probably cost over $2,000 to $3,000 a year on top of their regular property assessment. Yes?
Could you specifically address the CDO since this is the agenda item?
Just about done. I leave with you what was sent to me last week, titled Government's Officer Liable. In essence, it says a recent Supreme Court decision clarified and confirmed that the government, its agents on down, can be held liable and accountable for wrongdoing carried out by officials and employees while on the job. And this is what's happening with you guys. You're all liable and will be liable if some hotshot lawyer ever gets around to take the case of these poor people. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker car is William Moylan.
Good afternoon, Board. My name is Bill Moylan. I am a CDO recipient. I live in Los Osos. In 2006, I spoke to Mr. Packard at one of the hearings for these CDOs, and I said to him, and in front of 100 other attendants, knowing people are getting sick as a result of getting these CDOs, do you still intend to enforce these unnecessary orders? You might remember that, Harvey. Mr. Packard did not look directly at me, but looked down at the table and said, we will continue to enforce and issue these CDOs. The staff report Mr. Packard has given the board today mentions that a mere 33 households in Los Osos have CDOs or CAOs. What he has failed to mention is the human toll these enforcement orders have had upon the recipients. Everyone I know personally who has received a CDO has had very traumatic health experiences as a consequence. I know people are still suffering physically as a result of these CDOs. To continue to enforce these orders is irresponsible. Knowingly harming people by enforcing these CDOs is beyond irresponsible. What continues to perplex me is that Mr. Packard approached me unsolicited on January 15th of this year and asked me to write a letter asking the board to remove the CDOs. He also asked me to get in touch with other CDO recipients to get their input concerning the CDOs. And now, surprisingly, he is asking the board to continue to enforce these unnecessary orders. The specious argument he uses to ask recipients to continue violating the prohibition after construction, the specious argument he uses to ask for continued enforcement says that the orders are, I quote, a disincentive for order recipients to continue violating the prohibition after construction of the sewer system. I know of no order recipients that do not want to hook up to the system as soon as possible, with or without a CDO. And if you believe Mr. Packard's argument, there are 4,400 other prohibition zone households that have no CDO and no disincentive. Mr. Packard's argument is illogical, and it is an abuse of power. If you want to be fair, firm, and consistent in enforcing orders as stated in your own water quality enforcement policy, then enforcement actions should be appropriate for each type of violation and should be similar for violations that are similar in nature and have similar water quality impacts. Each board member must realize that enforcing just 33 CDOs / CAOs out of 4,450 households that all discharge in a similar fashion is inequitable and has zero impact on cleaning up the Los Osos aquifer. Board members should also be concerned at how Mr. Packard has been less than candid in his dealings with me and other CDO recipients. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Our next speaker.
I'm open for questions, by the way.
In due time, thank you. Beverly DeWitt Moylan, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Wolf. I believe there's two cards for Beverly. One is a duplicate. Beverly had a conflicting appointment, and she asked me to read her statement concerning this item. My name is Ann Calhoun from Los Osos. A few years ago, I met a former water board member who told me he was overwhelmed with the volume of reading required for each meeting and had to resign because he could not keep up with it. I have no illusions about how much newer board members may have absorbed about the Los Osos 45 CDOs and can only hope that you act today based on fact, not opinion and conjecture. Some of you may not know, for example, that the Water Board has spent close to $600,000 in taxpayer funds, that's your money and mine, to keep the Los Osos 45 CDOs in place. Prosecutor Packard is now spending yet more taxpayer funds to perpetuate today's action, a hoax that began on January 15th when he approached my husband to say that it might be a good time to join with other CDO recipients to ask the Water Board to remove the CDOs. We could not have anticipated that it was a proposal he did not support and would actually oppose. When Mr. Packard solicited my husband ostensibly to get community input for his proposal, my husband advised him that the Water Board has much better contact resources than we do and that he ought to contact the community himself. We later discovered that Mr. Packard never contacted anyone for input, at least no one we know, not even CDO recipients that we know. And he certainly never contacted us or anyone we know to say that he did not plan to support his own proposal after all. So we're left to question Mr. Packard's motivation in reviving the dead topic of our CDOs. It truly interests no one but the few of us with CDOs who have to comply with the significant expense of the pumping requirements and live with the threat of your full enforcement power to fine us up to $5,000 per day should the sewer project stall. Indeed, most people in Los Osos do not know that the CDOs are still in place. To others, the letter CDO mean nothing. And a few, like some of you, wonder why we still have our CDOs. I hope Mr. Packard can provide the taxpayers an acceptable explanation of why he has entered this agenda item regarding our CDOs. Since he opened the CDO door, however, I am taking this opportunity to ask you to remove our CDO for the 7 reasons I submitted into the record on March 17th, and because Mr. Packard has not submitted into the record one logical, sensible, comprehensible reason why they should be retained. If, however, you do find yourself swayed by his proposal and are unable to remove the CDOs, then in the name of logic and reason and for the health of our septic system, I request that you excuse us from the harmful, unnecessary, abusive, and expensive pumping requirement that is due at our house this August. Respectfully submitted, Beverly DeWitt Moylan, CDO R32006-1041. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Our next speaker card is for Lynette Tornatsky. Thank you.
Good morning, Board. My name is Lynette Tornatsky. I live in Los Osos, and I have a notice of violation, not a cease and desist order. I moved to Los Osos in April of 2005 and voted against the recall and against Measure B. I have been and still am in favor of your board holding the people of Los Osos responsible for cleaning up the obvious water pollution by orders of some sort. However, considering the lawsuit against you by CDO holders was thrown out of court and not likely to come back at you again, I support equality in the orders against us, whichever type they are. We should all now be under the same sort of orders. There's always a chance, especially in Los Osos, that some people won't hook up to the sewer. But of the current 38 CDO orders that are in effect, on less than 1% of the population out of the total of approximately 4,800 households, I would suggest that there is a far greater chance that the noncompliance would come from the sector that has notices of violation, the remaining 99% of Los Osos. I don't know what your enforcement process would look like to an NOV holder as opposed to a CDO holder. It seems to me that most CDO holders have just accepted a settlement and gone on with their lives. I don't know their backstories. I only know the very public and unhappy CDO holders that filed that Pizzledif lawsuit against you, and which failed rather miserably and cost you a lot of money. But even those defiant ones seem to have been complying with the CDO requirements. So knowing that, logically, the category most likely to not comply would come out of the NOV holder category. Since we are already paying part of the money of our sewer assessment on our taxes to assess your risk in non-compliance, you might find out how many are protesting the sewer by not paying the sewer portion of the tax on their property tax bill. I bet the number is pretty small, and they're not all CDO holders. Looking at the staff report, the reasons for leaving the CDOs in place were three. On point number one, barring devastating earthquake or terrorism, I don't see how the county won't complete the sewer. They have gone through a hateful verbal fire and brimstone punishment for this project to be realized, and they have survived thus far. They are not going to quit now. I agree with points two and three, though. Something should remain in place as a disincentive. However, looking at where the number of possible violators are placed in the NOV category, it would make more sense that everybody should actually be under a CDO if that affects a more likely compliance. But looking at how costly the CDO process has been on you, I think putting everybody in the NOV category where no hearings would need to be occurring would be make the most sense. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your comment. And the last speaker card on this item is Mr. Jack Hunter. And Mr. Hunter, you had listed 5 minutes. We allocate 3 minutes to everyone. So thank you.
Good morning. You may change that to 3 minutes.
Thank you very much.
My name is Jack Hunter, and I'm a resident and homeowner in Los Osos for over 20 years. As some of you may know, I'm related to a member of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. However, my comments today represent my own views only. I'm here to comment on the manner of the existing 33 cease and desist orders. I understand this discussion today gives us the opportunity to consider the progress that has been made on the construction of the wastewater system and the treatment facility implemented by the County of San Luis Obispo, and the potential for determining any changes that may be appropriate regarding the 33 CDOs in light of the progress toward the compliance and resolution of 8313. I want to urge the board to keep in mind several points. The current CDO recipients do not have the ability to come into full compliance as individuals. That is, by constructing a sewer system themselves in order to hook up to the centralized wastewater collection and treatment operation. Therefore, they cannot possibly come into compliance with the county's successful management without the county's successful management for implementing the project into completion. Secondly, the current 33 CDO recipients are required to have both their septic tanks pumped on a 3-year cycle and will have to both continue to pump their septic systems until the project is ready for a residential hookup, as well as the understanding as to undertake the installation of the wastewater collection system lines and remove the existing septic tanks for all homeowners in Los Osos. My understanding is that all the prohibition homeowners will be able to complete the process over the next 2 to 3 years. Lastly, as noted in a number of the letters submitted to the board, homeowners have been successful for the construction of the system on our property tax have been paying and for the last several years, which is another factor demonstrating that the community is doing everything essential to achieve compliance. In my view, the community has taken all the actions possible to come into compliance with 8313. The original opposition to the location of the sewage treatment plant was located in the heart of town, which if you visited Los Osos, you'd be aware that our downtown consists of approximately 5 to 6 blocks, and that was the wrong location and would have resulted in a community sewage plant adjacent to the library, a church, and a community center, and we would have resulted in the loss of our view shed of the scenic Morro Bay estuary and Morro Rock. I urge you to remove the CDOs for these 33 homeowners and request that the board hold these homeowners to the same conditions that all homeowners in the prohibition zone are required to meet, namely coming into compliance with this, when the system is operational, by hooking up to the underwater, to the wastewater system, and commissioning and removing their septic systems. One last point is, our groundwater basin is in overdraft and being exacerbated by seawater intrusion, and we'd like you to keep the pressure on the county to amend the situation as much as they are possible to do. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And I had received, past the deadline, 3 additional speaker card, but I think that our board has, pretty good sense of, the community feeling about the issue. I do have speaker cards regarding Los Osos, which will be discussed part of a public forum, which is item 15. So those folks who provided after the deadline the speaker card, you're welcome to also use this time for the item 15. What I'd like at this time is to give Mr. Packard an opportunity to comment, and then after that we will have board group discussion.
1 minute.
Go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't hear any new arguments during public comment, and I want to say I have heard the arguments before, and I recognize them and realize where they're coming from. However, I'd heard these comments prior to writing the staff report, and I don't believe that what I've heard today changes my opinion on the recommendation. So my recommendation remains the same, and that the CDO should stay in place.
Thank you, Mr. Packard. So now, fellow board members, questions? Or speakers?
The question I have, Mr. Chair, is that one of the speakers alluded that the county had passed an ordinance of mandatory hookup. And I know the supervisor's here, and I'd like for him to address that particular issue. And you have an ordinance for mandatory hookup. If they don't hook up, what penalty is there?
Thank you, Mr. Jeffries. Through the chair, we have the force of law. We have, I'm not sure, but I do believe that it falls under state statute that provides for daily fines for not hooking up after a particular amount of time has elapsed. And we've crafted that ordinance to be fair, understanding that the actual work on each individual property owner's lot is going to vary from one place to another. We will be phasing the hookup through the community. But it is absolutely correct. We have ordinance in place that commands connection within the prohibition zone.
Thank you. Do we? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I have a question for council. I want to understand if you see potential liability for the board. Should we move forward with a hearing and eventual rescission of the CDOs?
No, I don't believe it would open the board up to liability. As was mentioned, there was a court case after we did issue the CDOs, and the trial court and the appellate court upheld the decision, the board's legal ability to issue the CDOs, and rescinding the CDOs is also within the board's legal ability.
Yes, Mr.
I have a comment. It's not in the form of a question. Is that appropriate, or should I wait?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Well, my comment is that, I like the majority of this board was not on this board at the time that the CDOs were put in place. I am frankly not concerned. I know that may sound harsh, but I'm not concerned with the justice or lack thereof of that decision. That's a matter that's that was done, that was litigated, and that took place in a completely different set of circumstances. After reading the staff report, talking to staff, and hearing public comment today, my inclination would be to request that staff bring this matter back for a hearing to consider rescission of the CDOs. I'm frankly, at this point, profoundly unconvinced by the arguments for keeping them in place, but I would keep an open mind for that hearing because that's how we do it.
On my right, Mr. Young, any comment?
No questions. Mine had to do with the ordinance and whether it was in place and, you know, whether there was any language that staff has already looked at with respect to the ordinance. Harvey, have you looked at it?
No, I haven't looked at it. I was aware that it existed, but I haven't reviewed it.
Okay.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. I'm glad to know that we have a few more details have come out through discussion today, especially regarding the ordinance, which I think adds another feature to the progress that's been made and to the idea that the community as a whole has worked through many, many different difficult decisions, including placement of the wastewater treatment system, which was highly controversial and caused a number of delays. At this point, I concur with Mr. Johnston, and I would like to see this matter come forward to the board for a hearing for discussion on rescission of the CDOs.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. On my left, Mayor Delgado, any input?
Yeah. Why was this item brought to us today? Why is it on the agenda?
I think you asked for it to come up as an informational item. You had.
Mr. Johnston.
Okay.
Actually, it was Mr. Johnston, if I could have him confirm. I do recall.
I don't know. I don't recall, frankly.
I think we'll give Mr. Johnston and Mayor Delgado shared credit. So I would like to ask Mr. Jordan, do you have any input?
Well, I had other questions.
Please do.
Yes. What's the difference between a notice of violation and a cease and desist order in this case?
Harvey or Jessica, do you want to answer that, please?
Sure. So in this case, we started the process of issuing cease and desist orders in early 2006. And by starting the process, I mean issuing drafts to 45 residences. The process took over a year, well, almost a year to complete. The board issued the first cease and desist orders in December of 2006. In the intervening time, we sent a notice of violation to all residents, all property owners in the prohibition zone, pointing out that their discharges to their septic tanks were in violation of the basin plan prohibition on discharges. A notice of violation is not a formal enforcement action. It notifies the recipient that they are in violation of law or regulation and that the water board could take enforcement action. So the main difference is the NOV is notification that the board could take action, and the cease and desist order is actually a formal enforcement action of the board.
And how many of the 4,400 approximate homeowners received notice of violations?
Our intent was to issue one to every property owner.
And how many did they all basically receive them?
Yeah.
Okay. I know there's lots of water under the bridge, so just at this time, how is it fair to issue CDOs to a small percentage of randomly selected homeowners?
Right. Well, I'll answer that by saying that it was enforcement staff's intention at the time we started the process to issue cease and desist orders or some type of order to all property owners.
by the time the board issued the first set, staff was prepared to proceed, but the board gave us direction that was as far as they wanted to go at that time.
All right, great. Thank you very much. I would also be in favor of us bringing this matter up under a hearing for potential rescission of the CDOs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Packard, if the county says they have an ordinance, which you haven't seen, and insists that their ordinance is enforceable, is there some method to actually replace our action and show the county as a responsible party instead of the 45 homeowners?
Well, the county does have a couple of its own discharges, if I recall, county-owned property, but I believe that's the only way they would be responsible.
I don't know what I'm talking about, to tell you the truth. I'm asking if we can hold the county responsible for the private property, the 45 private property owners, that they say they have an ordinance that will enforce hooking up and solving the waste discharge problems.
I don't think so. Okay. And I wouldn't be in favor of doing that anyway. I think the county's been our partner with this process. They didn't have to construct the wastewater treatment system. They've done that, I think, as a benefit to the residents and to water quality. I anticipate working with the county on the issue once it becomes an issue of doing the private lateral hookups. And in combination with the enforcement of their ordinance and enforcement of the basin plan, I hope we can get full compliance.
And if the county does have an ordinance and it eventually pans out that it's either ineffective for whatever reason, it's not enforceable, it doesn't rise to their priority levels of prosecution at that time because they have limited resources, are our responsibilities in regards to enforcing the issue separate from their responsibilities? We still have a responsibility to proceed with some type of action.
Our responsibilities are separate. That would be up to the board what kind of action they would want to take, but the board, I'd hesitate to use the word responsibility, but it certainly has the prerogative and the authority to do so.
And the only method we have is a CDO, right?
Potentially, well, it could be a cease and desist order. We could ask the Attorney General to issue injunctions. I think that's possible. I don't know how likely or effective that would be.
Okay, and what's the fallout of actually doing 4,500 CDOs?
It would be a huge undertaking. I don't imagine we'd be anywhere near 4,500. The number of people who would refuse to hook up, I'm hoping, would be very small.
Mr. Supervisor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Excellent questions. The county is happily a partner with the regional board in solving the problems here. I would submit, though, that the county is on the hook to get this wastewater project done. We went through an extensive process through state legislation, AB 2701, you may hear referred, that gave the county responsibility for the wastewater system under a series of conditions, a due diligence period, if you will. And once we passed a resolution to move forward, we put ourselves on the hook with your board to get this accomplished. Now, the details of your enforcement procedure, I don't have that particular chip in my brain right now, but I do know that, essentially, if not in fact a time schedule order, the equivalent of a time schedule order, has put us in a position of needing to get this completed. I don't think there's any question that we're going to do that, and any question that we're going to get compliance with a very clearly written ordinance that requires a hookup to the community sewer system within the prohibition zone. I mean, we have a long history of requiring compliance with our ordinances, and I just don't see that there's a significant risk on that matter.
That compliance eventually will require the homeowners to fund their hookup, though, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so a lack of compliance there, do you know off the top of your head with that ordinance if that'd be a civil or a criminal matter?
I don't wish to speculate. I can tell you in parallel in our planning codes, we have the ability to take civil enforcement matters to a criminal level if we have to do it, and we have done it. We would certainly do exercise whatever authority we have to do that in this
typically
situation.
A civil and a planning code, though, would just lead to liens against the property, which would go in perpetuality until the property had to change hands, though, right?
No, the cost of compliance does get leaned against the property if it has to, but we have specific provisions for filing misdemeanor criminal cases, and in fact, in a fairly high-profile code enforcement, code compliance case within my district, we have the DA filed 7 counts and convicted the property owner on 2 of them for failure to follow our health and safety parts of our building code. So clear precedent on that, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So my feeling on this is not quite as black and white as what you've heard from the other board members so far. I would not mind seeing this go to a formal agenda item, but I'd actually be looking for an answer that makes this a little more fair and either includes all of the issues of the waste discharge problems for the entire community and resolves that to the satisfaction of the board, or resolves it in a matter that we just say we're going to trust the process and we remove the existing orders as they are today. That's a little vanilla or wishy-washy, I guess, than what some other people have said. I'd also like to just make the point that I'm really distressed by much of the conversation that I've read. This isn't an issue about Harvey Packard versus a bunch of homeowners. This is an issue about existing water quality law and what's going on the ground. And in particular, just some of the emails I received in the last 2 days really are a stretch, in my view, without knowing the history, of particular things that were said just as recently as this year. I can see a staff member being pummeled on this issue and finally just saying the appropriate avenue is where we are today. And I certainly don't see a staff member saying that means he's going to recommend something that he hasn't recommended up till now. And that's, I've seen that repeatedly in a couple emails, that jump or that nexus made. And it just seems like there's a lot of latitude being taken in conversations that have been taking place. And it just distresses me to see that. So those are my comments, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Mr. Harris?
I had one question, Mr. Gibson. And one of the speakers, one of the speakers mentioned the tax assessment.
Right.
There currently is a tax assessment in place to pay for the sewers and the wastewater treatment plant. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Well, yes, there's an assessment zone of benefit formed under provisions of Prop 218, yes.
So they pay that twice a year on their property tax bill?
Correct.
Do you have any sense, are there any individuals or homeowners who are not paying that assessment? So they would pay their property taxes, but they write you a letter or refuse to pay the assessment?
No, I have no evidence of that at all. In fact, I asked our auditor controller some months ago, and the actual overall default rate on property tax payments in Los Osos is less than the county average.
Okay, thank you.
So my view is that this particular item should be brought forth to our next scheduled board meeting as a formal agenda item, soliciting recommendations from staff, because I think, as some of my colleagues suggested earlier, Mr. Jordan, there's probably more than one way to approach this, approaching perhaps a soft letter of some form assuring that a burdensome financial penalty would not be enforced by the board, but I'll leave it up to staff to make recommendations. So I think it is appropriate to bring this to a formal vote by all of my colleagues here. Yes, Mr. Harris.
Our next board meeting is in Santa Barbara. What I would recommend is that if the board votes for a hearing, is that we do it in September when we're back in Los Osos, And I understand some individuals commented about pumping in August. We could issue, I could issue a letter stating the board doesn't have any intent on enforcing the pumping requirement pending the outcome of the hearing in September. That way it would give us the time to do that, and we'd be back here in San Luis Obispo.
Okay, so hearing the recommendation by Mr. Harris, I would like to bring to a formal vote by our board here. If you would like to bring this to the September agenda and make this a formal agendized item.
A second.
A question on the motion?
Yes.
I just want to understand the difference between bringing it to the board as an agenda item and as a hearing, which is a term that's been used earlier. As an agenda item, do we have the ability in that situation to make a decision at that meeting to vacate these CDOs or not?
I envision this agenda item to be more of a formal hearing, but I'm being nudged here, so Jessica.
I've heard a couple of different statements about potential other options, and a hearing would be solely to rescind this, the issued CDOs. Any other options would have to be taken up in a separate agenda item. We can't kind of mash them together.
Can we have two separate agenda items, the first being options to be considered, and the second being a hearing on a particular option?
You mean in the same day?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. That's...
Yep.
Well, there would be a noticed hearing to rescind the CDOs, and then there could be a separate information item on
other options.
Other options, if there are any other options that, I don't know. I haven't looked at any of the other options, and so I hesitate to say that there are. There would be options available for the board at the meeting. Don't know.
So I'd like to modify my motion to be more specific, and that would be that at the September meeting, we direct staff to come up first with an agenda item covering any options they think feasible, and secondly, to provide a public hearing specifically to allow us to rescind or not rescind the existing CDOs.
Okay. So...
I will second that motion.
All in favor?
We have discussion.
Discussion? Yes, Mr. Jordan.
So I agree with that. I like that. I would just remind staff as part of that process that everybody on the ground right now is in violation of waste discharge rules. An ordinance has been mentioned here today. I'd like to see the ordinance as part of that presentation. I'd like staff to evaluate the ordinance as part of that presentation. I would like that if we're going to move towards the first part of that motion in the other options, that staff also comes up with or recommends a set of safeguards or timelines for review back to the board to ensure that that the process we're adopting that's more flexible and less onerous in terms of CDOs does have some backside built into it. I just talked about this before. There's an inch of anecdotal, emotional stuff in the staff report, and this is an opportunity to get past that and actually deal with facts, and that's what I'd like to see, not the rest of this.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Mayor Delgado?
It's just a very brief comment to say thank you to Harvey Packard for all your work on this. I assume that you asked for this to be on the agenda because myself and or another board member requested it, mm-hmm. And I respect that all of your efforts have been in sincere effort to do as fair and equitable an address of this matter as possible. So I just applaud your efforts and thank you for all your time in this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Delgado. And one last comment, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I just want to clarify the process for communicating with each of the CDO recipients. I heard a comment that you did not, your staff did not communicate that this information item was coming up. So I know for a hearing item, that definitely would be required, but I just want to confirm that you have, in fact, notified all CDO recipients of this hearing today, and that you will assure that all CDO recipients will receive communication informing them of the upcoming hearing items?
Yes, I can do that. I'll clarify that prior to our issuing the staff report, I did not make a formal attempt to contact all CDO holders. It was our intent to mail a copy of the agenda and the staff report to every CDO holder, and as far as I know, that did happen.
Thank you.
And
so
we'll do the same, obviously, for the next staff report.
Okay, so we have a motion and duly recorded. So now let's bring this to a formal vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And thank you. Motion passed. And so it's a 10:15, so I would like us to take a 15-minute break and reconvene at 10:30. Thank you very much.